Chapter 6, The Crosswalk Prophet. Nia Reyes woke standing in the bathtub with her shoes on. That was new. The first night after the return, she had woken on the kitchen floor with the refrigerator door open and a carton of milk sweating beside her hand. The second night, she had woken in the hallway outside her apartment, one palm pressed flat against the elevator button, waiting for a car that had not been called. This was worse. The shower curtain clung to her shoulder. Her socks were soaked. The bathroom light was off, but the apartment beyond the doorway glowed with the grey-blue wash of early morning. Somewhere outside, a truck backed up with three small beeps. Naya's body reacted before her mind caught up. Her knees folded. She sat hard in the tub, one hand grabbing the cold rail, breath coming in pieces. The beep stopped. The apartment became quiet again, not quiet enough. She could still hear the crosswalk signal, not from outside. Her apartment was on the 7th floor and 2 blocks from the nearest intersection. The sound came from inside her head, clean and mechanical. Tick, tick, tick. Then the voice. Walk sign is on. Nia pressed both hands over her ears. The voice kept going. Walk sign is on to cross Mercer Street. Stop, she said. Her voice sounded too loud in the bathroom. The signal stopped. The water did not. That sound remained. Low, dark, impossible. Not pipes, not rain. A shore moving in and out against stone that was not there. Nia had never lived near the ocean. She had been to the beach twice as a child and once as an adult with Tessa, who had complained about sand with the commitment of someone personally wronged by geology. Tessa had said, "You know what this place needs?" Nia had said, "Less wind. A sidewalk." Nia laughed then. In the bathtub, 5 years later and 2 days after coming back from dust, Nia made a sound that tried to become a laugh and failed. Her phone sat on the sink where she had left it charging. The screen showed 5:42 a.m. and 11 unread messages from people trying to say the right thing. One message from her mother. "Mija, please answer when you wake up. I am trying not to call because you said not every hour, but I am awake." One from her brother. "You alive? Bad phrasing, sorry. Text me." 3 from a number she did not recognize. The oldest was from 5 years ago. Nia did not open those. She knew whose number it was. She knew because the contact name was gone, but the last message preview had survived migration from one phone to another, from one plan to another, from the world before to the world after. Tessa K. Nia sat in the bathtub with wet shoes and watched the screen go dark. By 10, the city records office had opened, which meant Nia had been awake for 4 hours, changed clothes twice, thrown away one pair of socks, and searched the internet badly enough to make herself angry. The search terms looked ridiculous in the history. What happened after snap crosswalk records, traffic camera footage, blip day request, how to get accident report, 2018 Seattle Mercer Street pedestrian crash, snap day. Tessa Kim obituary Seattle, 2018. She typed the last one 3 times before pressing enter. The results were immediate. That was cruel. Tessa Minji Kim, 27, remembered for humor, dedication to community clinic. Nia closed the laptop, then opened it, then closed it again, then stood in the middle of the apartment with both hands at her sides because if she touched anything, she might throw it. The apartment had not been hers for 5 years. The landlord had rented it, then unrented it, then held it temporarily under a city-returned housing order that seemed to have been invented in panic and implemented by people who had not slept. Most of her furniture was gone. Her clothes had been boxed by her mother and returned in 2 plastic bins. The couch belonged to someone named Aaron, who had left a note on the coffee table apologizing for the stain and saying he was glad she was alive. The note was kinder than the stain deserved. Nia stared at it until the words blurred. Then she took her keys, her tote bag, and the printed city form she had filled out with shaking hands. Request for traffic camera archive. Public incident record. Reason for request. I was there. She crossed out the sentence, wrote, personal verification. Crossed that out too. In the end, she left the line blank. Seattle had changed in ways that felt personal and unfair. Not large changes. Large changes would have been easier to forgive. A new building could be hated properly. A closed shop could be mourned. A street renamed after someone important could be learned. It was the small updates that made Nia feel like the city had continued speaking after she left the room. The bus shelter near her apartment had new glass. The old Thai place had become a dental clinic. The mural on 8th had been painted over with something brighter and worse. The pedestrian signal at Pine used a different voice now, one with softer vowels, as if accessibility had been rebranded while she was dead. Not dead, missing, not missing. Dusted. There was no word that did not make some part of her body object. She walked because the bus felt impossible. Buses had schedules, routes, forward motion. Walking let her stop whenever the panic rose. It rose at every curb. The first crosswalk made her wait through 3 cycles. The white walking figure blinked. People stepped off. Nia stayed on the curb. A man behind her said, "You going?" "No." He moved around her. The countdown began. 10, 9, 8. Nia's shoulder snapped back as if struck. She gasped. A woman with a stroller looked at her and then looked away too quickly. The old panic would have embarrassed Nia. The new panic did not leave room for embarrassment. It filled the body too completely. The countdown reached 1. The light changed. Traffic moved. Nothing happened. That was somehow worse. At the records office, the security guard asked if she was all right before asking for her ID. Nia considered lying. Then she saw her reflection in the metal detector. Damp hair, sleepless eyes, tote bag clenched under one arm like it might try to escape. "No," she said. The guard's face softened. "Returned?" The word landed with bureaucratic gentleness. Returned, like an item at a store, like a library book, like something overdue but still useful. "Yeah," he pointed her toward a desk marked public requests. The clerk at the desk was young enough that she might have been in high school when the snap happened, old enough that her politeness had learned exhaustion. "I need traffic footage," Nia said. The clerk's fingers settled over the keyboard. "Date and location," Nia told her. The clerk typed. "And are you law enforcement, insurance, legal counsel, or directly involved?" Nia opened her mouth. The crosswalk signal clicked in her head. Tick. 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 "Directly," she said. The clerk looked up. Something changed in her face, but she kept her voice even. "Name?" "Nia Reyes." More typing. The clerk stopped. "Do you have someone with you today, Ms. Reyes?" Nia gripped the tote strap. "No." "I ask because some records related to that date can be difficult." "I know what happened." The clerk did not answer quickly enough. Nia felt cold move down her back. "I know Tessa died," she said. The clerk's eyes flicked to the screen. "Okay. She was with me." "Okay. She dusted too." The clerk looked at Nia then, not pity, not disbelief. Worse, preparation. Nia heard water, the office thinned around her. "Ms. Reyes," the clerk said carefully, "the incident file says Tessa Kim was transported from the scene." Nia's fingers went numb around the tote strap. "No. I'm sorry. No, she vanished with me." The clerk did not argue. That kindness made Nia want to scream. "Can I see it?" "We can release the traffic camera archive to directly involved parties, but there is a trauma review room. We do not advise viewing alone." "I am directly involved." "Yes. I want to see it." The clerk glanced toward a door behind the desk. "Let me get a supervisor." The trauma review room had beige walls, a square table, 2 chairs, a monitor, and a box of tissues positioned with such hopeless optimism that Nia hated it immediately. A woman named Maribel sat beside her. She worked for the City Victim Services Office. Her badge had a small crack across the plastic. She said Nia could stop at any time. She said there was no right way to react. She said the footage had no audio. That last part should have helped. It did not. The video began with Nia and Tessa frozen in the top right corner of the frame. Nia leaned forward. "That's us." Maribel did not speak. The camera angle came from above the intersection, tilted toward the crosswalk. The footage was old enough to be grainy, new enough to be merciless. Rain made headlights smear. People waited at the corner with hoods up, shoulders hunched. A delivery van idled too close to the stop line. Nia and Tessa stood under one umbrella that Tessa held badly. Tessa was laughing. Nia knew that without sound. Her head tipped back. Her free hand moved in a sharp little cut through the air. Tessa always talked with punctuation in her fingers. Nia watched her own past self shake her head. She remembered that moment. Not all of it. Not clearly. Enough to feel the curb under her shoes, the rain under the umbrella. Tessa's shoulder bumping hers. They had been leaving the clinic. Tessa had wanted noodles. Nia had said she needed to go home and call her mother. Tessa had said, "You are not emotionally prepared for my noodle standards." Nia had said, "Nobody is." Tessa had bumped her shoulder. The walking figure changed. People stepped off the curb. Nia and Tessa moved with them. The delivery van remained stopped. Another vehicle entered the frame from the left. Too fast. Nia stopped breathing. It was a dark SUV, angled wrong, sliding through a red light in the rain. Not wildly. Not movie fast. Just fast enough that the ordinary world had already failed. On the screen, Nia turned her head. Had she heard it? Had she known? The SUV crossed the first lane. Tessa's umbrella tilted. Then Nia became dust. No flash. No warning. One moment, she was there with one foot on the painted bar, tote bag against her hip, face turned toward the sound. The next moment, she was a cloud pulling apart in the rain. Tessa's hand closed on empty air. The umbrella fell. The SUV hit her. Nia made a sound Maribel must have heard before because the woman did not touch her. She only said, "Breathe if you can." Nia could not. The video continued. Tessa struck the windshield, rolled, disappeared below the camera angle. The SUV stopped crooked across the crosswalk. The delivery van driver threw open his door. People ran. One person stood where Nia had been and looked around wildly, as if searching for the missing half of an accident. The footage kept going. Nia's mind did not. It moved backward, not to the moment before, to the moment after. The rain, the white bars, the bike lane that had not existed, the bus braking, the plaque on the pole, Tessa's name under her fingers. Nia stood so fast, the chair hit the wall. Maribel paused the video. The frozen frame showed Tessa's umbrella upside down in the street. "No," Nia said. It was not denial. It was refusal. No to the footage. No to the math. No to the space her body had left behind. No to the clean cruelty of being removed from the path just before the path became death. Maribel said something. Nia did not hear it. The monitor reflected orange for 1 second. Not from the footage. Not from the room. A low horizontal line moved across the black bezel, thin as the edge of sunset. Nia saw water in the glass, then the room returned. "Did you see that?" Nia asked. Maribel looked at the monitor. "The video is paused." "No, the light." "What light?" Nia sat down, very carefully. "My friend died because I vanished." Maribel's face changed. Not correction, grief. "Your friend died because a driver ran a red light," she said. Nia laughed once. It was an ugly sound. "That sounds like something they teach you to say." "They do." "Does it work?" "Sometimes." "Not today." "No," Maribel said. "Probably not today." The hospital record was worse because it had tried to be kind. Tessa Kim, female, 27. Pedestrian struck. Initial transport to Harborview. Blunt trauma. Multiple fractures, internal bleeding, emergency surgery, stabilized, critical, no next of kin present at intake due to blip event mass casualty conditions. Co-worker listed in personal effects contact. Nia read that line 4 times. Co-worker listed in personal effects contact. Her. Tessa had carried a little emergency card in her wallet because she said responsible adults did things like that and then forgot to buy toilet paper for a week. On the card, under in case of emergency, she had written Nia Reyes, work, friend, will yell usefully. Nia pressed the printout flat on the table. There was more. Tessa had survived 2 surgeries, developed complications, woken briefly, asked for her mother, asked what happened, asked whether Nia was found. Nia stopped reading, then forced herself to continue. There had been 1 attempted call from Tessa's phone before her personal effects were logged. The number was Nia's. Duration, zero, uwoku, wo. Failed. Of course it failed. Nia had been dust in the rain. She folded the records badly and put them in her tote bag. Outside the records office, the city had become afternoon without asking her permission. People moved around her with coffee, umbrellas, phones, shopping bags, grievances, appointments. Life did not pause for revelations. That felt obscene. It also felt like the only reason anyone survived anything. Nia walked back to the intersection. She did not mean to. At least, she did not decide to. Her feet made the choice with the certainty of sleepwalking. She moved past the bus stop, past the dental clinic that used to be Thai food, past the mural that was wrong now, until the crosswalk came into view. The plaque was still on the signal pole. Tessa Kim, 1991-2018, she made the hard days louder and the good days brighter. Someone had left flowers there, fresh ones, yellow tied with blue string. Nia touched the plaque. The metal was warm from the weak sun. "I'm sorry," she said. A person waiting at the curb glanced over, then away. Nia did not care. "I'm sorry I wasn't there." The crosswalk signal clicked, tick, tick, tick. Her whole body braced, but the sound changed. For 1 second, it was not a countdown. It was geometry. That was the only word her mind had for it. The street became lines and distances, speed and angle, wet paint and failed friction. She saw the SUV entering before the legal moment ended. Saw Tessa's shoulder under the umbrella. Saw the gap where Nia's body had been. Saw the space the impact chose because she had been removed from it. Not a vision. Not memory. An absence precise enough to accuse her. Nia pulled her hand from the plaque. The white walking figure appeared. Walk sign is on to cross Mercer Street. Nobody moved at first. Then a man stepped forward. Nia grabbed his sleeve. "Wait," he jerked back. "What the hell?" A cyclist shot through the red light, silent and fast, close enough that the air moved against the man's coat. The cyclist shouted an apology without slowing. The man stared after him, then at Nia. "You saw that?" Nia let go of his sleeve. "I think so." The man took 2 steps away from her. The countdown began. Nia stayed on the curb. Her hands shook. Across the street, on the far corner, a woman was watching her. Young. Dark hair, hospital bracelet on one wrist. No umbrella despite the rain starting again. She stood very still, one hand pressed to her ribs. Nia looked at her. The woman looked back. Neither of them crossed. The signal changed. Traffic moved between them. When the cars cleared, the woman was gone. Nia ran across on the next light, heart hammering, slipping once on the wet paint. She reached the far corner and found nothing but a damp bus schedule, a cigarette butt, and a square of paper taped to the signal pole. Not official. Printer paper, cheap tape, fresh ink bleeding at the edges. "Have you dreamed of orange water?" Below it was a phone number, and one word printed in bold. Misclaimed Nia stared at it until the rain softened the letters. Then she took out her phone and photographed it. Her reflection looked back from the black screen after the photo saved, pale, wet, alive. Behind her, the crosswalk began to count down again. 10, 9, 8, Nia did not move. For the first time since waking in the bathtub, the countdown sounded like a warning meant for someone else. She folded the paper carefully and put it in her tote bag beside Tessa's records. Then she turned toward home, carrying proof like a weight and a crime.